right. We're going to have us some tag team preaching. Amen. Josh, do me a favor, buddy. We need to get our hourglass. Amen. And just to make sure we stay on point, it's right there to your left. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, I said us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, of course, I think everybody here is familiar with tag team preaching. And so we do pray that the Lord will use it. I was excited as I was studying my portion of it today. And I had me a little good time. Hallelujah. And I do pray that God takes his food and warms your heart. Matter of fact, I want to warm your heart. I want to set your heart on fire.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
When it's set on fire, you can't help but just to do amen. Something. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, ain't my time. All right, come on, Brother Bill. Amen. Amen. He going to kick us off. Amen. Brother Bill Paisley. And you pray for him as God uses him today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. I was just going to let him preach. Amen. Yeah. He's off to a rip-roaring start. No, it's good to be here tonight. Amen. And,
amen.
It's a true joy to be able to stand and preach God's word.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And when he is the center of your joy, amen, nothing else matters.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean nothing else is not important.
Right.
But when Jesus is the center of your joy, nothing else matters. Amen.
Hallelujah.
If you have your Bible tonight, I'd like you to turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we just pray the Lord just use this message tonight just to uplift you and to encourage you. And as Pastor already said, set your soul on fire.
Amen.
Amen. I believe he's coming back, like he said, amen. I believe it's soon, maybe morning, night, or noon. When that trumpet sounds, we are looking forward to going home and being with him forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
And 1 Samuel chapter number 17, we're going to jump right in it in verse 22. When you find your place, if you would stand with us for the reading of God's Word. And this is a familiar story, familiar passage, but we pray that the Lord just bless you in it. So just pray for us, amen.
Amen.
Starting in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 22, the Bible says this, "And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brother."
Yeah.
"And he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine?
Yeah.
And taketh away the reproach from Israel, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
Yeah, yeah.
Verse 27, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, and thou art come down that thou might seest the battle. Mm. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Verse number 30 says this, and he turned away from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. Now, we're going to stop right there. We'd like to preach a message tonight with the Lord's help and the pastor's tag team and help on the thought of the undercard to the main event.
Yeah, yeah.
On the undercard to the main event. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, Lord, for all the things that you've done for us, Lord. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you just move now in this service, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and appreciate your spirit felt in the singing.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just bless the choir and Miss Jolene there, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just move in this service here tonight, Lord. Lord, you tell us in your word where two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, that you're there in the midst. And Lord, I'm pretty confident tonight, Lord, that I can find more than two or three that's come to worship you in spirit and in truth.
Yes, sir.
So Lord, I ask that you just take these lips of clay, and Lord, that you fill them with the words, Lord, you'd have us to preach tonight. Mm. Lord, I pray, Lord, you take a pastor's mind and his heart, and Lord, just clear it of anything else, Lord, and just help us, Lord, to preach this message, Lord,
and
that you get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and Lord, none of ourselves, Lord, hide us behind the cross, get us out of the way, Lord, if there's anything within my heart that hinders me from preaching this message tonight, Lord, I pray that you forgive me, cleanse me of it, Lord, and remove it from my heart, and Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just let it all cross spill out,
yes, sir,
Lord, and let our cups runneth over, Lord. And Lord, when the joy overruns our cup and it leaks onto the saucer, Lord, let us pick up the saucer and drink some more.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And Lord, I ask that you just bless this, and Lord, just have your way. Please, be God and direct in all things said and done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, hallelujah, for those who are not familiar with sports terms, the undercard to a main event are the bouts that take place under the big fight, okay?
Right, right.
And so what I want to show you here tonight, if, as the Lord allows, as He gave it to me, is that David faced many bouts before he even got to Goliath.
Right, right.
He battled many things before he even got to Goliath.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Now, I believe with all my heart, I believe that many of us are the same way. And a lot of times what happens is we get focused on something else and we get blindsided by other battles.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
And I believe this with all my heart. I believe that the Lord will not have us to be ignorant to the devil's devices. Amen. I believe that one of the greatest things the devil uses is distractions.
Yeah.
I believe some of the greatest things the devil uses are the things that are unseen.
Come on.
And a lot of times we get blindsided. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But just to prove my point here, and I got 5 minutes for this introduction. I want Brett to come up here. This is our resident sports expert, amen. And so I want to put him on the spot here tonight. Just come on up here, buddy, and face the crowd here. And I'm going to tell him about a fight, and I want to see what he remembers. Okay? Now, the fight took place on June the 28th, 1997. It was between Mike Tyson. How many of you know Mike Tyson? Show of hands. All right. Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. Now, this was bout number two. Okay? It was dubbed The Sound and the Fury. That was the subtitle for the main event. Tell me what happened in that fight, if you remember.
In the fight, Evander Holyfield allegedly headbutt Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson bit his ear off.
Bit his ear off. How many times? You remember?
He bit it twice.
He bit it twice. Now, did me and you talk about this anytime during the day? I told him I may use him. I said, I want to see what he remembers. Now, he's vivid of what happened. He said there was a headbutt, and Mike Tyson went to bite his ear not once, but twice. Now, here's the question I want to ask him. What was the undercard of that main event?
I have no idea.
He has no idea. The undercard for that main event was Miguel Gonzalez versus Robert Graciano, Christy Martin, a female boxer, versus Andrea Deslon, and Julio Cesar Chavez versus Larry Lacazier. That was the undercard to the main event. Thank you, brother. Now, I want to show you this. Why? To show you, or to let you see, that we can sometimes be vivid on what happens,
yes, sir,
in the main event.
Yeah.
But what's going on around you? What's surrounding you? Another example, I don't know if anybody's a film buff in here, but me and my wife, we enjoy a movie called Dickstown. Anybody ever seen that movie, Dickstown? Check it out if you ever get a moment. It's about this old con artist who's a friend of a boxer, and he makes a deal with a local town hustler and says that my guy can beat 10 of your guys in one night. So he takes them up on it, and they make a bet, and this old-time boxer, he's Louis Gossett Jr., I believe, plays it. He gets up in there, and he's boxing these young guys, and he takes on 10 fellas in one night. And not to be a spoiler, but he does a pretty good job, let me say. But see, here's the thing is, David came down here and was in the middle of different bouts before he even got to Goliath.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Tonight, with the Lord being our helper, and Pastor's going to kick us off here, we'd like to preach on that thought of the undercard to the main event. Come on, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I like that. Amen. Amen. And as he said before, the undercard is those bouts that take place before the main event. And a lot of times what God is doing is He's preparing us for these bouts, the main event that's going to take place, but a lot of little skirmishes. A lot of little skirmishes. And one of those skirmishes that took place before he met with Goliath was a bout of unnecessary anger. And I'm on your time, ain't no mind yet. But of unnecessary anger. Who the Bible says in verse 28? The Bible says in verse 28, and how do you pronounce this word, his name? Eliab?
Eliab.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why? Why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. That's why you're here. I know why you've come. We have right now, my dear friends, a fight that's about to take place. A bout that's going to take place. And it's the unnecessary anger that came from his eldest brother. The first thing we see here about this elder brother is he questioned his attendance. He says in the first part of the verse, he says this. He says, hey, why hast thou comes down hither? Why have you come here? What's the main reason why you're here? And sometimes we're trying to serve the master. Folks will question the reasons why we're doing what we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the real reason you sing in the choir? What's the real reason that you are back in the nursery? What's the real reason that you do some of the things that you do around the house of God? I know the real reason behind some of that stuff. And they begin to question, my dear friends, our attendance or why we are here. And it says this. He says in verse 28, let me tell you about that anger for a second. That word anger here in this verse, it means the nose. It means rapid breathing. He is stirred up. He sees his younger brother coming, and now he's all stirred up, and that word nose means and rapid breathing. He's about to bust wide open.
Amen.
And he says, I know why you've come down here. You've not come down here for the right reasons. He questions attendance, and then he belittled his assignment. He says to him, look at back in verse 28, why camest thou down here, and with whom has I left those few sheep in the wilderness? He belittled his assignment. He had an assignment to watch some sheep. But he said, them few sheep. That little bitty thing that you're doing. And sometimes the enemy will tell you that what you're doing is a small thing. It's insignificant.
Come on, Pastor.
It don't amount to much. It's worthless. You know, we have some folks that come clean the church. That's worthless. You're wasting. That's a small something. You're not doing anything that's in the limelight. You're not doing anything that's to be seen or to be noticed. You got something small and insignificant. You work in that little nursery. Them folks don't care about you working in that nursery. Kids squabbling and crying and screaming and fighting and you back there sweating. It's so small and insignificant. That's just nothing. It's worth nothing. My dear friend, if they weren't back there, where'd they be at? They'd be out here, amen. And some of y'all would go, wow, somebody shut that black baby up my asshole, amen. I mean, so you need to appreciate the nursery workers, amen. They're vital to the church, amen. But nonetheless, here you got those little bitty sheep. The little bitty little sheep, little boy. And not only that, my dear friends, then he makes this false accusation. He says in verse 28, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know. It's amazing how a lot of folks know more about you than you know about yourself.
Come on, preacher.
I know. He says here. What? Thy pride. The word pride there means arrogance.
Yeah.
You're just arrogant. That's what the problem is. You're arrogant, little boy. That's all you are, just arrogant. Mm-hmm. You're full of yourself. He goes on to say this, I know thy pride and thy naughtiness, thy evilness of thine heart. I know your heart. What? It's amazing how somebody else is going to tell you what you feel in your heart. I know why you're doing what you're doing. You're full of pride and I know your heart. I know what's happening on the inside of you. I have x-ray vision. It's amazing how we know somebody else's heart and we don't know anything about our own heart. Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then watch this. He says this, and for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You come down by so you can look at the fight. He just didn't know. He didn't come and look at the fight. He can't get involved in a fight.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
a lot of folks on the sidelines looking, but we got some, my friends, they can't wait. Hold on to me. They can't wait to get in the battle, amen.
Amen.
There's some on the sideline going, we can't beat them. We can't whoop them. Listen, my dear friends, you are going to fight some obstacles before that main event. And one of those might be the anger of somebody else who stirred up, my friends, because you're trying to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, verse 29, run, y'all, run. It says in Ephesians 4 and verse number 29, the Bible says this. I passed it. Here we go. In Ephesians 4, 29, the Bible says this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to be used of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. That word edify means to build up. Instead of Eliab building up his brother, what he was doing, my friend, was tearing him down.
Yeah.
As believers, we should seek to build up. We should seek to encourage somebody that's trying to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ instead of letting our anger take over.
Amen. Not only did he face the bout of unnecessary anger, but the next bout that he faced was right there, was the bout of using retaliation. You ever been there?
Yeah.
You ever want to retaliate? Look at verse 29 back in 1 Samuel here, verse 17. Verse 29 says this, "And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?" "And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner." What happened here was that Eliab here began to have unnecessary anger towards David, and David looked at him with a clear response and said, "What did I do? Is there not a cause? Why are you angry? Why are you saying these things against me?" Listen, let me say this to you. Listen, if you live in this life as we are today, there is going to be somebody who's going to find fault with what you're doing. Amen. But here's the question. How do you respond? There is a proper way to respond, amen. And there's been many times that maybe myself, and I'll just preach to myself for a minute, there might be times when I want to respond a certain way. I might want to rip somebody's head off. I might want to cut them off the road. I might want to do whatever, throw up the fist and swing. Who knows? But listen, there's a proper way to retaliate here. Amen. And David said, "What have I done?
Yeah.
Do you have just cause for the way that you are approaching me?" He said, "Is there not a cause?" He said, "Listen." He said, "I know one thing. I know that my Lord, the God in heaven, the God of Israel, is being run down by this joker.
Right, and not one
of you are stepping up to the plate. You're all hiding behind the rocks. You're all scared to step out and say, 'Hey, let's go fight for the Lord.'" And David said, "You know what? Is there not a cause?"
Yeah.
He said, "Listen, if you're not going to fight, I am." And listen, he had to deal with retaliation here, but I want you to see something here. Listen, people are going to do you wrong. It's a fact of life. How are you going to respond? He responded the proper way. He said, "Listen, is there not a cause?" He said, "What have I done?" You know, when we are attacked, we want to retaliate. The definition of retaliate means return like for like or reprise. We want to give back what somebody gives us.
Yeah.
A lot of times we want to give it back harder. "Oh, you want to say that? Well, I'm going to say this."
Yeah.
And listen, let me say this to you. There's a lot of times that we go through something called premeditated retaliation.
Oh, wow.
That is, before anything even happens, we already know what we're going to do in response. Sit there and tell me your heart's right if you're thinking about premeditated retaliation. Amen. Yeah. It's, you can't be right with God and say, "If they do this to me, I'm going to do this to them."
Yeah.
Listen, that means you're sitting there thinking about the wrong things. Amen. He says this. He says, "Is there not a cause?" But look what happens here in verse number 30. Eliab does not respond to David's questions. So what does David do? Did David take on to Jerusalem Facebook and start running him down and say Eliab is no good? No! He did not take out an ad in the local Jerusalem paper saying that Eliab is no good as an older brother. He's done me wrong. He did not go to his friends and say, "Have you heard about what Eliab did to me?" No, he did not. What does the Bible say in verse 30? The Bible says this, "And he turned from him.
Yeah.
When somebody does you wrong, you don't have to retaliate fire with fire. You simply turn.
Yeah.
If you notice, when David turned, his message did not change.
No, sir.
He was still rallying the troops. He was still saying, "Hey, there's something to fight for." And the whole reason why people want to mess with you is to get you out of the fight. The devil uses other people to get you distracted. The devil uses other people to get you discouraged, to get you defeated, and to get you on the sidelines. But if you just turn away.
Yes, sir.
And keep on keeping on for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The bout of retaliation here. He says this. He says, David, remember, David is a man after God's own heart. He's a future king. He's the writer of many psalms. How did he respond to the attack of Eliab? He addressed it and then he turned away from it.
Yeah.
And I want to get this verse in, because I had Pastor look it up for me when we came in. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful."
Yeah.
The part I want you to look at tonight is, "And let the peace of God rule in your own hearts."
Yeah.
To govern.
Yes, sir.
To umpire.
Yeah.
David here was a man after God's own heart. When you talk about retaliation, if anybody could have retaliated on anything, it was Jesus.
Yes, sir.
But he said, you know what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You might be faced with a bout of retaliation tonight.
Yeah.
How are you going to respond? Come on, Pastor.
Amen. 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 All right. So we see we got a lot of battles going on before the main event. Man, Goliath was over there waiting, and we got all this stuff happening before we even get to Goliath. Amen.
Amen.
Now, not only this, we see the unnecessary anger. We see the using of retaliation, but also useless opinion.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. The word useless, though, means without useful qualities or fruitless. Sometimes, my dear friends, you're trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and someone gives you their opinion, but it's fruitless.
Yes.
It's of no real value. It's of no real, I probably should turn mine over. Of no real help, amen. But notice right here. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. We see in verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now here is King Saul, a man of battle, a man that has been tested, and he says, this is his response, his opinion. He says to David, thou art not able. You ever heard of that? You can't do it, Sharon. There's no way you can accomplish this. See, you can't be the man of God that God wants you to be. You're not able. You don't have the ability. You don't have the strength. You don't have the fortitude. You don't have the backbone to do that.
Come on, preacher.
That's what the enemy will tell us. And in this case, not the enemy, but somebody that's on our team.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? You are. I was watching. We've been watching Lucille Ball, and Lucille Ball was on her and Desi Arnaz. Some of y'all even know who I'm talking about. But nonetheless, though, she was getting ready to go out there, and she was going to do some kind of a dance routine, and she did the practicing with this guy already. And she was calm, and she was ready to do it, you know, and all that. And then Fred walks up to her, and he says, "Aren't you nervous?" And she's like, "Why?" He said, "Because all those people out there." I mean, it's one thing to rehearse when nobody's there.
Yeah.
But here you have all these people that's out there. And as soon as he said that, she got scared to death. And she was going, how many people? Is all you'll be okay? And then somebody walked out and came back and told her, this is the biggest crowd we've ever had. And she was scared to death. My dear friends, and Fred was one of her neighbors. Fred was one of her best friends.
Yeah.
And the same thing will happen to you and I when you're trying to serve God. You'll have somebody that's on your team that will say to you, thou art not able. That word able means to have the power to be able to endure or have the might. You don't have the power, David. You don't have the might. You don't have the endurance for this type of battle. Then he goes on to say this, my friends. He says, listen, to go against this Philistine, to fight, to battle, to war, to overcome him. You can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's King Saul's opinion. That's man's opinion.
Come on, preacher.
Man will say you can't do it. You can't live this Christian life. You can't win this fight that you're trying to fight. He goes on to say, my dear friends, for thou art but a youth. You're just a boy. You're just early in life. You are a newborn Christian. You're just a baby. Wah, wah, wah. You can't do this thing. Now watch this. The Bible says, he goes on to say, he is a man of war from his youth. Goliath had been fighting since he was a boy.
Yeah.
Wait, why come I can't fight since I've been a boy? Because Goliath's big. In fact, when Isaiah was born, he weighed 9 pounds and 5 ounces. And my pastor said, boy, you need to just get that boy a tricycle. Amen. Just start him off on a tricycle. And here you have Goliath. He's huge. So when he was a kid, he was still big. He's been fighting a long time. And David, you ain't able to do it. In my opinion, you can't do it. You don't have the physical abilities to do it. Then he goes on to say this. He talked about his appearance, his ability, and he talked about his age. But I noticed something. And David said to Saul, he said this, thy servant kept his father's sheep. The word kept means to tend flock or the pastor.
Yeah.
I've been passing some sheep. I've been watching over these things out here. I said, what's the big about that? Hold on. He goes on to say, my dear friend, this. He says, listen. He says, I kept my father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock.
Yeah.
Came by and lifted one of the lambs out. I ain't just watch. Look what he says. And I went out after him and I smote him.
Mm-hmm.
I killed him. He goes on to say, and delivered him snatched away, rescued, recovered it out of his mouth. I recovered that sheep that had been taken by the enemy.
Yeah.
Watch this. Watch this. And when he arose to rise up against me, I caught him, I seized him by his beard.
Yeah.
That word beard also was indicating age. This was an old lion.
Come on.
An aged lion. Because remember, he'd been questioning David's youth.
Yeah.
He was the boy. I grabbed him by his beard. He was old. He was a warrior. But I grabbed him. I smote him. And I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them seen, he says right here. He hath defied, he hath defamed, blasphemed the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me from out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. And he will deliver me, he will deliver me, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And then Saul said to David, David, boy, go!
Yeah, amen, amen.
Dog was a bad self. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what, one thing about that lion and that bear and that valley that David was in, that was the Lord's training ground for him. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
What does the Lord have you in that's training you to fight the big battle? Amen. But lastly, number four today, or tonight, we want to look at this. We've seen the bout of unnecessary anger. We've seen the bout of useless using retaliation. We've seen the bout of useless opinion. Number four, how about the bout of unwavering faith?
Mm.
How many of you have been battling that?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I know me and my family, we've been through some tough times this past couple of months. And I tell you what, there's times when you wake up and you just can't find your faith.
Mm.
It's there.
Yeah.
But you're battling to find it. And you see here that I want to show you these things here before my time runs out, because I think my time runs quicker than pastor's. Amen. But you see in verse 39, it says this. It says, or let's go in verse 38. It says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. And I'm going to stop right there. What had happened? Saul said, go, go, go. You are the one. You go fight him. But listen, if you're going to go, put this on.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Strap this on.
Yeah.
Make sure you have this on.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, this stuff wasn't unproven to David.
Right. Right.
It was unfamiliar ground, Miss Sherry. He didn't know how to trust this stuff. And listen, there's a lot of times when we go through things in life that we try to trust things that are unproven, amen.
Yeah.
We try to trust things that are just untrustworthy. We need to stick with what works, and that's the Word of God, amen.
Yeah.
We need to stick with our Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and
yeah,
know that He has never failed me. He's never left me. He's never lost a battle, Brett. He's never been defeated. And
yeah,
listen, He'll never leave you nor forsake you, amen.
Yeah.
Stick with what works, amen. And you see here, he put on the armor. David, I can see David there as a youth. He put the helmet on. It probably rattled around his head a little bit. He put on a coat of mail, and it was probably three sizes too big. And you see that he put a sword aside. He's probably thinking, what in the world is this? But I want to show you these words here in verse number 39. He says, and he essayed to go. That word essay means he yielded.
Mm-hmm.
Clank, de clank, de clank. Wait a minute. This just ain't right.
Hey.
This just ain't right. Look what he says. He says, for the... He says, he saved to go. He says, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. He says, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose five smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag.
Mm.
Which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine.
Yes, sir.
He went with what he knew worked.
Worked. Right, right, right.
He wasn't familiar with the sword, but he understood the staff.
Mm-hmm.
He did not understand the chainmail or the protection here, but he understood how to work that sling.
Amen? Yeah.
He did not understand the battle that he was about ready to face, but he knew this. I'm going to pick up these five smooth stones, and I'm going to go out to battle because, listen, there's a joker out there that's talking trash about my Lord, but I want to show you the main thing that he needed in this battle. If you drop down to verse 45, the Bible says this. Or let's go up to verse 44. I think I have enough time. He says, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Philistine out there talking trash.
Mm-hmm.
You step on up, boy, and I'm going to destroy you.
Yeah.
I'm going to feed you to the birds.
Yeah.
But look what David said. He wouldn't be. He was unshakable. Amen. He said, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. Yeah. He said, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. He said, listen, you can come to me with man-made things. You can come at me with the sword. You can come at me with your shield. You can come at me with your spear and everything else you want to bring.
Yeah.
I got the Lord on my side. Yeah. Amen. And that's all I need. Amen. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:31, it says, God be for us, then who shall be against us? Amen. That means everything that's in your life. If your boss is trying to hold you down from a promotion, your boss is not more powerful than God. Amen. If your marriage is on the brakes, listen, you don't need a marriage counselor, you need the marriage counselor. That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If your car is acting up and it's breaking down, guess what? I know an A1 master mechanic.
Amen.
And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's never failed. He does not know how to fail. And listen, David said, I'm going to stick with the stuff, amen. If I'm going to go out and fight this battle with this giant, I'm going to stick with the one who knows how to win this thing, amen. And he stuck with the Lord, amen. I tell you what, his faith was unwavering. The Bible tells over there in James, he tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Yeah.
You know what? David made up his mind, Pastor. He stuck with it.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anywhere in here where David was nervous. I don't see anywhere in here where his nerves begin to shake.
Yeah.
I see where he stood firm in his faith
that
the Lord was going to win this battle. Bring us on.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Now here's my question to us tonight. What battle are you facing? What bout are you facing before the main bout? For example, you got to stand before somebody perhaps this week, but before you stand before them, your faith is being tested. Before you stand before them, my dear friends, you'll find yourself being frightened by some of the events that could take place, but they've not taken place yet. What is it that you're battling with before you face the situation that you've got to face?
Bring home, Pastor.
When we look at David, my dear friends, we see that David had been tried. He was true. He was trusted. And then we see that David was triumphant.
Yes.
What happened? Goliath came tumbling down. Look what the Bible says right here, my dear friends. Flip back over there. When look, it says in 1 Samuel 17, the Bible says this, verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, your head coming off, boy, and I will give the carcasses of the host of Philistines this day as the fowl of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know. My soul, this is the reason why we fight this thing, folks. That the earth, the people may know, the earth may know there is a God in Israel.
Amen, amen.
I wonder if there's a God at your house. Is there a God at your home?
Come on, preacher.
Does your God go with you on your job?
Come on.
Folks, be deceived, my dear friends. That the same God you worship in the church house is the same God that can help you, my friends, when you're at the job house. Hallelujah. We've got a God, my dear friends, that wants to use us and show a lost and dying world that God is real.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
But that means we're going to have to face some stuff before we face them.
Yeah.
That dark place, that lone place, that by yourself place. Watch this. The Bible says this in verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that there is God that saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is mine. For the battle is the Lord's.
Come on, preacher.
And he will give you into our hands. The Bible says it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David, hasted and ran.
Mm-hmm.
Not backwards. But the Bible says he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine.
Like
and David put his hand in his back, took this, a stone, and I like that word. He slay it. He slay it, the Bible says, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead. He fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. And they don't literally cuts his head off. Because the undercard. Those battles he fought before Goliath. So when it came time to fight Goliath, instead of Miss Wells, instead of running the other way, he ran toward Goliath.
Yeah.
Huh? Mrs. Wells, she's on the board, Lake Ridge School Board, and she's also the I never can't forget remember that title you got. What? No, the other one for our area. She's a precinct committee woman. She faces some battles.
Yeah.
She has to make some decisions. But I'm going to tell you what, my dear friends. It's going to be in that prayer room. It's going to be in that quiet place.
Come on, preacher.
Alone with God.
Come on.
And at the same time, you ain't alone only with God, my friends. You've got the enemy. He'll slip in your prayer room with you.
Yeah.
You're in there praying. He'll slip in there and say, you ain't going to make it.
Come on, preacher.
You don't know what you're doing. But it's in that room, my dear friends. In that battle right there. When we win that battle right there, then when she goes out and has to make a tough decision, she ain't got to be, you know, doing all this kind of stuff saying, I don't know if I really want to go in that room or not. And them folks are really, I don't know. Instead, she can be like David.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine, man?
Yeah, come on.
Come here. We're heading home. I need you. I want you to step right down there. Go down there. He represents Goliath. That's the life. Give me, come on. This is David here. That's all right, he going down. I mean, that's a big, he's huge. And can you imagine him seeing me, he'd be like, but see, he already won some battles.
Yeah, yeah.
He done fought lions and fought bears. He's won some battles. His brother has accused him of all kinds of stuff. His king has said that he can't do it. He fought them battles, won them battles, and now when he sees Goliath, my friends, he's slinging that thing. Instead of running the other way, going, he's slinging that broken down. Woo! Hits him in the head, and down he goes. Amen. Stay there. He's out. Amen. And he's down, my friends. And the Bible says, stay down there. He takes his sword, and then he cuts his hair. Cut his hair off, man. No, cut the jack. There you go. Cut the damn sword off. Amen. These guys are here. Come on, man. But how was he able to win that battle? Because, my dear friends, of the bouts before. Those bouts nobody else sees. Those battles nobody else is aware of. But it's in those places. You win those battles there. Then you face the battles in front of you that everybody else does see. You won't be afraid, but you have much faith.
Amen.
Let me ask you, what battles are you facing? We need the Lord and the undercards and the main event.
Amen.
On what you're facing today, but let's come talk to him. Father, thank you.
Yes, Lord.
For your many wonderful blessings. Thank you, Lord, for this message that helped me. Help me before we got here. And so for that, God, I want to say thank you. And God, I pray, God, that right now, that person is fighting a battle that none of us can see. It's an unseen battle. But I pray, God, you give them strength for that unseen battle. I pray, God, you increase their faith, Lord, for those unseen battles. And I pray, God, you give them victory. Victory, Lord, that points to a lost and dying world, that God is real. That you are genuine. That you are life-changing. Perhaps there's some folks who just simply want to talk to you about these battles tonight. And then perhaps there's someone that wants to pray for someone they know that's in an unseen battle, but they want to intercede on their behalf. I pray they come. Whatever the needs are, Master, help us to respond by simply coming. For us in your Son's name we pray, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.